Very good morning to you all, and welcome to day two of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Thursday, the 18th February 2021. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, you are the shaper and ruler of all that you have created. We pray for your great mercy that you guide us towards you, for we cannot find our way without your help and direction. Guide us to your will, to the need of our soul, for we cannot do it ourselves. And make our mind steadfast in your will and aware of our soul's need. Strengthen us against the temptations of the devil, and remove from us all lust and every unrighteousness, and shield us against our foes. Lord, teach us to do your will, that we may inwardly love you before all things with a pure mind. For you are our Maker and our Redeemer, our help, our comfort, our trust, our hope. Praise and glory be to you now and forever. Amen. Listen now for the word of God as it is written in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 11, the verses 7 to 15. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Dear friends, Jesus Christ had just rebuked John the Baptist in the preceding verses of our text for not seeing with the eyes of faith the full picture of his messianic program. And then he went on to characterize John to the crowds with a moving tribute that profiled him as the greatest of people born of a woman. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. But what is it that made John so great a person? It doesn't seem to me that his greatness was measured by some powerful and material achievements, but rather by his determination, good conduct, and consistency. Probably that explains why Jesus used three rhetorical questions to give contrasting opinions about John, which would enable the crowds to acknowledge his true identity and mission and greatness. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. In other words, how do you measure greatness? Do you consider things like character, consistency, and people's ability to speak truth to power in the name of God? Or you look at people's appearances? Let us think about this text in at least three ways. And the first is that greatness is measured by our ability to make informed and helpful choices. Did you go out to see a reed swayed by the wind? The reed to which Jesus referred was common along the Near Eastern river banks. They were light and flexible, waving back and forth with every breeze. When applied to people, reeds swayed by the wind symbolized weakness and inconsistency with every changing wind of opportunity or challenge. Was John that kind of person? No. At the time Jesus was speaking, John was languishing in prison because of the strength of his resolve to confront every challenge and speak the truth. John was not like reed swayed by the wind. And then secondly, greatness must not be measured only by the display of luxury and ostentatious behavior or lifestyles. There is what I would like to call the simplicity of greatness. What did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothing? And the answer was no. Because John the Baptist consistently lived an ascetic lifestyle in keeping with his call for repentance. John's question about Jesus did not come from materialistic opportunism. His self-denial was purposeful, and it was for the sake of his ministry and it aided his own physical and spiritual discipline. And finally, greatness is measured by our calling as evangelists for the gospel of Jesus Christ. John was unique because he was both prophet and fulfillment of prophecy. The greatness of believers is seen in our privilege of witnessing for Jesus Christ as part of our calling. Dear friends, I want us to examine our lives in the light of the greatness of John the Baptist. What kind of person are you? Are you like reed swayed by the wind? John the Baptist wasn't like that. But there are many people like that. Reed shaken with the wind of popular opinion. They have no mind of their own. They cannot make up their own minds, no power to make decisions. They go by what others say, what culture says, what friends say, what fashion says, the newest fashion. And sadly and most often, not by what Jesus says. And there are many Christian people who are suffering today because they have very weak foundational principles of their own lives and character, and so have been misled by others into suffering. Think of those who move from one church to the other looking for miracles, as long as there is someone to direct them to another prophet. What about those who are suffering in bad relationships because they were forced into them by some friends or family members? Or maybe you are in the wrong job or wrong place, not by your choice, but because you lacked the courage to stand up for what you believed or wanted, and somebody had to make that choice for you. Reed shaken with the wind of popular opinion. You can never become great by wavering like that. You've got to stand firm for the truth. Then there are those who think greatness is in the latest fashion and the material things of life. Of course, I enjoy good dressing and looking presentable. But to popularize a culture of luxury as part of the Christian faith, when Jesus preached simplicity and generosity in a world where the poor are still in the majority, is to preach another gospel. What did you go out into the desert to see? A man dressed in fine clothing? Dear friends, for far too long we have championed, promoted, and followed many wrong people along the way. We've judged others on the symmetry of their cheekbones, salary package, neighborhood of residence, eloquence of speech, designer of clothing, or model of car. We've been focused on the wrong things. But what I learned is that there are some new measurements that are not external in nature, but are internal. Measurements that weigh the very heart and soul of humanity. And these can give us a far better sense of who to trust, who to follow, and who to champion. French writer Alexis de Tocqueville, after visiting America in 1831, said, "I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for it in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and in her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her democratic Congress and her matchless constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." Dear friends, Christian people are great because they are good. And they would be greater, they will be greater if they are evangelists for the gospel of Jesus Christ and exhibit a deep sense of commitment to my Lord. Dear friends, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and forceful people are taking hold of it. You too can take hold of the kingdom, not by allowing yourself to be tossed about by popular culture, much like reed swayed by the wind, but by standing firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the character of your choices. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you know that we are set in the midst of so many and great dangers that by reason of the frailty of our nature, we cannot always stand upright. We are weak and feeble vessels in your hand, and only you can give us fortitude and strength to stand our ground in a world of confusion. Grant us such strength and protection to support us in all danger and carry us through all temptations. Because you live and reign through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. Amen.